This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is Patsy with a Z. Welcome to Joy on Paper, a program for writers and those who dream of writing. My name is Patsy Gill. One of the joys in life is to see your words on paper, or perhaps even more exciting, to hear the words that you wrote spoken on film. Today, my guest is Tony Armour, the film commissioner from Clearwater, St. Petersburg. But before I bring Tony on, I want to say a few words about Big Ed. He's my guy in the control room. I ran out of time last week to thank him for everything he does for me, but especially 2 weeks ago when my guest was Douglas Brunt, the best-selling author of Ghosts of Manhattan. For some reason, right in the middle of the interview, the call dropped off. And for a moment, I thought I would drop off. That was the first time it had happened to me, and I hope the last, but it was the first time, and for a moment, I didn't know what to do. Here, I had Douglas Brunt on the line and his wife, Megyn Kelly, and everyone at Fox News in New York listening in, and I was shaken. But Big Ed is just so calm, and he's so cool, and within a few minutes, he had Doug back on the air. And so I just want to thank Big Ed for this. I started this program on St. Patrick's Day, so I will always think of Big Ed as my big magical leprechaun. Big Ed, say hi to everyone.
Hi, everyone. It's just as long as you don't think of me as a green leprechaun.
Okay. You're just marvelous. Now, my first guest is Tony Armour, and I think we're going to play a little music for him first. Tony, are you there?
Yes, I am. Hi, Patsy. How are you?
Great. Well, not only are you the film commissioner for our area here, you are also an award-winning filmmaker, and you are the founder of the Sunscreen, or one of the founders, I believe, of the Sunscreen Film Festival. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct. Yeah, you can lots of things that can go after my name there, I guess. But yes, I am one of the co-founders of the festival and was the festival director for the first 10 years. And now that I'm the film commissioner, I'm still on the board of directors for the festival. We have a new film commissioner, festival director for this year.
Okay, well, it's nice to know that, you know, for our area and for Sunscreen, that it was voted one of the 25 coolest film festivals in the country. And yep. Even more impressive that it's one of the, only a few dozen that are sponsored by the Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences.
Yeah, correct. In 2013, 2014, we were only one of 23 festivals in the country sponsored by the Academy, which, of course, is the organization that puts on the Oscars every year.
Well, that's fantastic. So you must be really excited with the festival that's coming up. And so just tell us something about it. Who's coming to town? And what are the how many films are going to be shown?
Sure. So the 10th annual film festival is coming up April 30th to May 3rd in downtown St. Pete. Opening night will be at the Palladium in downtown St. Pete, and the opening night film is called Next Goal Wins, and it's actually a documentary about Coach Thomas Rondon, who is the coach of the Tampa Bay Rowdies soccer team, and the work that he did with the American Samoa soccer team, which was the worst soccer team in the world and had the largest loss in World Cup history. So we've got that opening night, and then we've got probably close to 100 films between feature films, short films throughout the entire festival.
Well, it's great that you're opening in the Palladium. I love that theater. I think it's such a wonderful place, and I hope everybody will come out for it. That sounds like a fascinating film.
Yeah, it should be. It'll be really good. We're looking to have a great a great turnout on Thursday night. And then, of course, you know, films and workshops and parties and everything, you know, throughout the rest of the weekend as well.
And what are some of the workshops there?
Well, you know, it's kind of one of the things that the festival has become known for over the last 10 years are these workshops that the festival does. And so we've got, for example, acting workshops if you're an aspiring actor. Kurt Mega and Matthew Moy. Kurt Mega, who has been on Glee, and Matthew Moy from Two Broke Girls are coming into town to do actors workshops. Jason Matthew Smith, who has been in the two new Star Trek films, as well as Dom Dragon Wilson, who has a film in the festival called Martial Arts Kid, and is 11-time world kickboxing champion, and done dozens of films over the years, are teaching an action workshop, kicking butt and taking names. And we've got producing workshops and distribution workshops, and anything that you may want to know or learn about the film industry, you can learn at one of these workshops.
And so people who are... Is it possible to still sign up for some of these workshops?
Yeah, absolutely. It's really easy. You can just go to the website, sunscreenfilmfestival.com, and the full schedule is online there. And you buy a day pass or a VIP pass, and you can have access to any of the workshops and films and parties and everything throughout the festival. And it's just like going to the movies. You know, if you just want to show up at the American Stage or MovieCo, you can buy a ticket to come to the movies or buy a day pass or VIP pass there as well.
Well, that sounds exciting, and I know a lot of the people who listen to my program are writers, and then, of course, a lot of people who are dreaming about writing. And when they're dreaming about writing, the best way sometimes to get inspired is to do one of these workshops. Even if you haven't written anything yet, or if you're just sort of dreaming about it and thinking about it, or planning to, you know, hoping someday to get into film, a workshop is a really motivational experience for anyone who hasn't done one.
Absolutely, and you know one of the great things about going to a film festival is that there are a lot of like-minded people there, and so it's a great opportunity to network and meet other people who are trying to do the same things. And it, every single year, you know, people get together and they make friendships and relationships and end up working together and creating whether it's short films or features or whatever, just from the people that they've met at the film festival.
So are there? I know at some of the past festivals, we've had some famous screenwriters in town. I think Stephen D'Souza was in town. Is he going to be here this year? Does he have a film this year?
No, unfortunately, we don't have Stephen this year. Stephen D'Souza, who wrote Die Hard and a litany of other big films. He's got a couple of $1 billion in box office for the films that he's done. We had him a few years back, but we don't have that big screenwriter name this year, unfortunately. But we are looking at later in the year, maybe sometime over the summer, doing a workshop with some screenwriters that we would bring into town just for a specific screenwriting workshop.
Well, that sounds very, very interesting. You have to make sure that you come back on the show to tell us about that when you have, when you set that up, because I know a lot of people would like to attend that.
Absolutely, yeah, absolutely. We'll definitely let you know.
Okay. Of course, everybody's always interested in what stars or famous people that names that they'll recognize are going to be in town. Are there some? I know in the past you've had John Travolta and some other stars. Who's in town this year?
Sure. So, yeah, like I said, we have, Kurt Mega and Matthew Moy from Glee and Two Broke Girls. Jason London, who's, I think probably most well-known for Dazed and Confused. He's going to be in town with a film called Awaken, and his co-star in that film, Natalie Byrne, who's an actress in L.A. and a producer, will be here as well. Simeon Rice, former NFL superstar and Bucks player, actually has a film that he wrote and directed called Unsullied that will be screening on Friday. And so Simeon will be here, and I'm sure some of his NFL friends will be coming with him. So we've got a big selection of producers from all over the world flying in from Australia and New York and other parts that have films in the festival as well. So it should be a really exciting weekend.
Well, now tell us a little bit about yourself, because you are an award-winning filmmaker, and how did you get into it? When were you always interested in film?
Yeah, it's one of those things that, as a kid, always loved movies and wanted to be involved in movies. And started making short films in high school. I won't say how long ago, but, you know, quite some time ago, shooting on actual 8mm film. And
okay, that's, you know, a little bit of time ago then.
Exactly.
And but then, you don't look that old. I was looking at also at your web. You have a beautiful website, by the way. Your own personal website is really dynamic, and it's very good. So you don't look like you were ever around 8mm film.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. Hard work and clean living, right?
That's it. So you.
So over the years, you know, I've worked on a variety of projects as a producer and a writer and actor and director, and I have a documentary called Running with Demons that I produced and directed that came out in October and has won a bunch of awards at film festivals. And actually, the film was just nominated for a PRISM Award, which those awards take place in Los Angeles this July, and then the awards ceremony will be broadcast on FX in September.
Wow, that's exciting.
Yes, it's really, you know, it's you never really set out to win awards when you make a film. You just want to do the best job you can be, and if you win some awards along the way, that's always great.
Oh, that's fantastic. And you have some projects coming up, too, I understand.
Nothing that I'm working on project-wise right now. I'm fully dedicated to being the film commissioner in Pinellas County here and bringing as many new projects to the area as I can.
You know, what new films are coming up in this area are going to be filming here?
Well, we have the Infiltrator starring Bryan Cranston that actually starts shooting in the area this week. That'll be shooting in Hillsborough and Pinellas County. And that's, you know, the big one that's coming. And there are some others that we can't say anything about yet, but that we're working on and working on drawing to the area. And one of the important things is the tax incentive program that the Florida legislature will be voting on in the coming weeks to decide if we're going to have tax incentives that will help bring more projects to the state of Florida.
Well, I think they're really, you know, in some states I don't think they work as well as in Florida, because first of all, Florida is just the perfect destination. We have everything here that we, you know, any type of location you want. We have country locations, we have city locations, we have beach locations and river locations. It's just such a marvelous state. To film, I really hope that they pass the tax so that we get more films here, because to make it a destination for filmmakers from all over the world is really nice.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and that's what we're working on. And there's a bill in the Florida House that I believe they are debating today, and it could go to a full House vote tomorrow, and then of course then there's a Senate bill that we're waiting on as well. So you support the film tax credit program, you can go to filmflorida.com for more information, and they'll tell you how to reach out to your legislators and tell them you support it and tell them to vote yes.
Yes, absolutely. Really, all you listeners, do that, because it you cannot imagine how much work goes into making a film. I mean, even a short 5-minute sizzle film takes, you know, so much work and brings in so many people for a little shoot. And this is employing people in our area, in our neighborhoods, and in our state. And so everybody go and support and tell your legislator, your people, to vote for it, because it's really, I just love to see filming going on around town or to hear about somebody filming. You know, a little film can employ, you know, 100 people easily, right?
Oh yeah, absolutely. And you know, the thing about the Florida program is that they have to spend the money in the state before they get a credit, and they're not getting any cash from the state. They're getting a tax credit that then they can use to resell to a corporation or whatever. But it's you know, states like Louisiana and Georgia are really just killing it right now. You know, Georgia has something like 100 television series shooting in the state, and there's so much work going on up there. And, you know, you look at a film, you know, the great film examples for this area, you know, the two Dolphin Tale movies and what they've done for the area. Not just, you know, they're going to come here and spend $20 million, drop it right into the economy, but then all of the tourism benefit as well, because people that want to come in and see the locations and see Winter the Dolphin. And, you know, that same thing applies for other films that will shoot in the area as well.
Absolutely. And I didn't realize that there were so many things going on in Georgia. We have to get those people down here because we have great, you know, our locations are so terrific, and particularly here in Pinellas County, just in Pinellas County alone, we have you can shoot almost any type of film here. So it's really would be great if they pass this on, and I hope that everyone will go for it because that's a smart move. That's a smart way to get business into the state, to get people working. And, you know, we're doing so great in Florida with our unemployment rate being so low. So more films we can bring to shoot here. And I know tourists just love going to the locations where a film has been shot. It's,
There are actually, even just talking about Georgia again, there are tours that where people can go to, see the locations where The Walking Dead was filmed or different TV series like The Vampire Diaries that shoot in the state of Georgia. And these tours are bringing in, 50,000 people or more a year, and they're all, booking hotel rooms and spending money at restaurants and shopping. And so it makes a big difference.
Well, absolutely. It's a wonderful thing, and I hope that it'll pass because it's a smart thing to do. I know that it being a film commissioner takes up a lot of time, huh?
Yes, it definitely keeps me busy, that's for sure.
but it's a fun job. You get to meet every interesting person who comes into town.
Yeah, there are a lot of interesting people in the film television business as well. And even beyond film and television, people think of that. There's a lot that takes place in, when you talk about commercial production, commercials and digital media are actually a huge part of what we do as well. People don't realize that, there are YouTube channels out there with, millions of views and millions of subscribers, and you still have to shoot that somewhere, and that sort of stuff. You're actually getting, what would be the equivalent of higher ratings than a lot of television programs. And a lot of younger people are watching things on YouTube and digital streaming nowadays, so that's actually a huge new component to the business as well.
Well, I think you have brought a lot of dynamics to the position of film commissioner here, I know that you've really made an effort to reach out there and bring people in, and I think that's just so wonderful.
Well, thank you. Yep, doing my best and trying to do more.
Okay. Well, look, I want to thank you for coming on today. Let's repeat, tell people where they should go to find the tickets and a little bit, just a quick rundown of the films. I have it here on my...
Sure. Well, we've got...
why don't you do it?
Thursday, April 30th to Sunday, May 3rd is the 10th Annual Sunscreen Film Festival. It takes place in downtown St. Petersburg. Sunscreenfilmfestival.com is the website with the full schedule and ticket information there. Opening night is the Palladium, and then films and workshops take place throughout the rest of the weekend at Movie Coast Theaters, at the Sundial, American Stage, and films at the Dolly Museum as well. And all the workshops will be at American Stage, and that's sort of the home base where everything centers out of, but we'll have a lot of film screenings at Movie Co. And a great Latin film selection this year at the Dolly Museum and at Movie Co. And some really outstanding movies that you can see the full schedule and watch trailers online.
Fantastic. And you have an open invitation to come back and announce any other events that you have. And we really want to help people find ways to get into the business and encourage them and motivate writers to keep going. You keep trying. It takes time to break into the business, but it's fun, and it's a fun challenge. And so thank you so much, Tony, for being on today. And I want to say that's it. Everybody, please go to the Sunscreen Film Festival. Well, it was wonderful talking to you.
Thank you very much.
Okay. And now, this is Patsy Gill, Joy on Paper, coming to you from the studios of WTAN 1340 Tampa Bay's Tantalk Radio Network. We'll be right back after a few messages from my sponsors.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hi, I'm John Rakowski with Charles Ruttenberg Realty. Don't you love living here in the Tampa Bay area? Oh, I'm sorry, you don't live here yet? Well, if you already are or thinking about it, call me at my office at 727-538-9200 extension 2 for any real estate needs, including a free market analysis of your home. Your home is worth more than you can imagine. Call me today at 727-538-9200 extension 2. I'm John Rakowski.
Are you looking for the perfect gift? Going to a wedding? A special birthday? The Silver Queen is the place to go. Graduations are coming up. Don't settle for the ordinary. At the Silver Queen, you will find a unique gift. Things that you won't find at the mall. From beautiful photo frames to silver and china, you will find just what you're looking for. One that says, you care. Guys, looking for that perfect ring? You'll find it at the Silver Queen. And don't forget their bridal registry. Located at 1350 West Bay Drive in Largo, the Silver Queen is the place to go. Visit their website, silverqueen.com. They have some wonderful coupons. And when you go to the store, tell them that Patsy with a Z sent you.
Some people don't believe in mermaids. Hope that's not you, because they exist at Wikiwachi Springs State Park off US 19 and State Road 50, just north of Spring Hill. Since 1947, the magic of the mermaids have been entertaining visitors at the 538-acre Springs Park. Come and watch in the 400-seat submerged theater, The Little Mermaid Show at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. daily. Wikiwachi State Park offers mermaid shows, reptile shows, boat tours, and swimming in the pristine spring at Buccaneer Bay. Wikiwachi State Park is a perfect backdrop for wedding receptions, birthday parties, picnics, meetings, retreats, family reunions, or just to relax on the white sandy beach. Step back in time when things were much simpler and enjoyable. Spend the day at an original theme park. Call 352-592-5656 or log on to wikiwachi.com for upcoming events, hours, and ticket pricing. Wikiwachi Springs State Park, where mermaids do exist.
Go yard is a metaphor used in baseball, meaning to hit a home run. Life struggles can make you feel like you just struck out. It's times like these that we need a little batting practice to pick ourselves back up and get back in the game. Whether you are dealing with marital issues, drug addiction, rebellious teens, anxiety, depression, or just generally having a bad day, call Mama Mac. If life has you down 0-2, before you strike out, learn to go yard. Go yard with Mama Mac on this radio station, Thursdays, 6 o'clock.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hi, this is Patsy with a Z. And we're back with my next guest, an old friend and a prolific writer, Harley Sachs, who has gotten up early in Portland, Oregon, to join us today. Hi, Harley. How are you?
Pretty good. Looking forward to this conversation.
Great. Well, I'm glad you joined us today. And I just want to tell my listeners that for many years, Harley was a professor at Michigan Technological University, Michigan Tech, in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan, where I was born. He's not an original Youper, but we adopted him, and he adopted some of our ways, like eating pasties, but I bet Harley, you didn't miss the snow this year.
Well, in a way, I did, because we have not had winter here in Portland, Oregon, and we didn't even have frost. And I'm going through a sort of cultural shock after 45 years in the UP, where we had snow on the ground for 6 months of the year. I keep looking around this. Where's winter? Where's winter? What happened? Where's it? It never came. So I don't miss shoveling. I don't miss us getting out the snowblower at 8 o'clock in the morning to discover that everything I just did before was filled up by the snowplow. No, I don't miss that at all.
luckily, my brother still sends you care packages from the UP, right?
Yes, he does, and the most remarkable thing he sent us was a little plastic cardinal, a little tiny bird that sings all the time. and all I have to do is clap my hands, and it sings. It's amazing.
Okay, that'll remind you of the UP. Listen, it's hard to know, you know, where to start asking you questions. But before I ask you, about your newest project, The Accidental Courier, yes. Just tell us a little bit about your background, where you lived, and Just the start of it.
Well, I've got, I guess I've had a fairly interesting life because I've been writing all these memoirs. I wrote got drafted at the end of the Korean War, and because of a fluke, I had passed the German exam, and they sent me to Heidelberg, Germany, instead of to Korea. So that was good.
And definitely.
I had a grand tour in Germany, and always wanted to go back. And so I took what was left of my GI Bill to Sweden, where I met my wife. And I lived over there for 4 years. I got recruited as a contract agent and made several trips into the Soviet Union during the Cold War. I was just talking to somebody, or I was just sending an email this morning about how the larger a corporation or organization gets, the poorer the communication is. So that if it weren't for the fact that the KGB was full of people who were terrified of everybody else and didn't connect the dots, that I managed to survive my missions in Europe. that was a long time ago.
That was partly your inspiration, your work in the Soviet Union during the Cold War, which we thought was over, but looks like it's not over, for
not
your
trip. Putin is an old style. Remember, he was an old KGB guy.
Exactly. Well, you wrote an interesting trilogy, and I was very honored that you asked me to write the screenplay for one of the books in the trilogy, Betrayal.
And oh yes.
That is a story about the Soviet Union, and it was it's a fascinating trilogy.
It begins there, and it has betrayal and retribution, and then Burnt Out, which is a sort of a sequel to that situation. I still have a wonderful character left over from those books, Katya, and I keep trying to think of what I can do with Katya for another book, but I haven't figured out the story yet.
I love your character, Erwin Glass, in that trilogy, because he's sort of a hapless character, and it's an interesting how you weave the entire story around him. And of course, part of it is set up in the Upper Peninsula too.
Yeah, part of it is in the Upper Peninsula, especially the third book in the series. Yeah, he's a sort of a nibbish, but he manages to pull himself out of it, no matter how much he gets trapped into fate, in the twists of fate. You know, we don't know what little minor things can affect our whole lives. There's tiny moments that affect our whole lives. I've been writing a memoir of how I got to Sweden. You know, I got to Sweden because my brother's best friend's roommate was from Sweden and said, why don't you come to Stockholm to the International Graduate School and you can stay in my apartment? Well, that sounded like a pretty good deal, you know. But it turned out that guy's apartment was on the top floor of his father's store for women's clothes, where 200 beautiful Swedish girls were.
Oh, wow.
And he was having a different one up in his apartment every night. This is not a good life. I'm glad I didn't get into that.
But you did meet your wife in Sweden, so you came out with something.
I met my wife in Stockholm. In Stockholm in the 1950s, it was very difficult to get a place to live, an apartment on a permanent basis. So I was always subletting and moving from one place to another. And when I was teaching English to the Swedish police, the guy who found accommodation for the cadets found me this apartment in an apartment house in Gärdet, which is a lovely neighborhood. And my wife was working in the grocery store downstairs, and that's where we met. So it's all sort of connected. And a lot of times the connections are unexpected and curious, and we meet people by chance, and they change our whole lives.
Absolutely. Now, it's funny that you met in Sweden, but you landed up having a honeymoon in a Scottish castle. How did that come about?
Well, when we left Stockholm, We left Stockholm with these two old bicycles that I had sort of scavenged off the streets when the snow melted, which it does in there in, around May. I scavenged two old bicycles, and we took off on our honeymoon on these bicycles, and crossed Europe, and got to England, and because my wife didn't speak English at the time and was snubbed by some people who were very rude to her, she says, "I'm not leaving Britain until I've taught myself English," which she did. And so she got pregnant. You know, when you live in a tent for several months, these things can happen. So I put an ad in a New Statesman, author seeks low-rent cottage, from September to May, which was after the baby would be born. And Theo Lang, who was a very well-known mystery writer and journalist at the time, he had the lease at Warthwick Castle, and he would go away in the wintertime to Amalfi, Italy, where he would find himself a new boyfriend. And he and his mother would go down to Italy, and he needed somebody to be at the castle, so to keep an eye on things. So we were castle sitters for the whole winter, and for $25 a month. So we lived in the gatehouse of Warthwick Castle, which is now being turned into a hotel. But it was a wonderful experience. My wife taught herself English, and is incredibly fluent. Some people, she only had me to talk to. In Swedish and or German, so she had to learn English if she wanted to talk to anybody else. So she did. So we had our first child in Scotland on the National Health, and returned to the United States briefly.
And then eventually, you landed up at Michigan Tech, and you were teaching. What were you teaching at Michigan Tech?
Well, I taught technical report writing at Michigan Tech. Which is not the very best thing. It would have been nice if I taught creative writing, because if you're a technical writer, the prose that you write tends to be rather cold. You know, there's no emotion in put tab A into slot A, which is the way some instructions used to be, you know. So there's no emotion in that. There's no. It's not like the Zen and the Art of Motorcycle Maintenance, where you cannot fix the motorcycle unless you're in the right frame of mind. That kind of emotion doesn't get into technical writing. And so my wife pointed out to me that being a technical writer wasn't good for my prose writing. So I had to concentrate on what do characters feel? How do they respond? What is their emotion? What is their motivation? And of course, motivation was an important part of my work as a secret agent. You want to know, why do people do these things, and what way can, in fact, in what way can we manipulate those feelings versus others? So
you started studying youpers, the sort of like a strange species of people.
Well, I almost became one myself. You betcha. Hey.
Yeah.
No, I got a little book called Uber Tales and Other Funny Stuff, which is a collection of articles, of little columns that I wrote primarily for, what was the name of that newspaper? Porcupine Press. I used to write for Porcupine Press.
Oh, wow.
up there, it was a really goofy newspaper, and they paid like 40 cents an inch. Yeah, I was a stringer. So if I wrote an article, I might get $2.50 if I could get the guy to pay me, which he didn't always do. And we finally had to part ways because he owed me a bunch of money. And I said, look at it. Pay me or I'll hand you over to a collection agency. He owed me $240. So finally got that. But I said, that's enough. I don't have to deal with this anymore.
But anyway.
So I've got a lot of books, right? I've got memoirs, short stories, novels, and I think you wanted to know what my advice would be for other authors.
Yes.
One, don't quit your day job.
That's...
You know, very few people are like the woman, Mrs. Lee, who wrote to kill a
Yes. Well,
one book, right?
One book, and she made her whole fortune.
That made her whole life, because the fact that film is constantly being shown and the play is on, and she must have had residuals and royalties for
her
whole life.
Oh, yes. Harper Lee. But now she's got a new book coming out, so that's rather exciting.
Yeah, about 90 years old.
Yeah, well, you have to keep trying. You have to keep trying, which is what you're doing. And in your new book, The Accidental Courier, you've really come out with a very nice story. Tell us a little bit about it.
Right. Well, The Accidental Courier, I think that, you know, for authors who are looking for material, what you want to do is you want to ask yourself, what if? So I was reading the Wall Street Journal, which we got on a free subscription for our airplane points. I was reading the Wall Street Journal, and there was an article in there about rare earths. Rare earths are used to make cell phones and other electronic gadgets, and the Chinese have got the corner on that market. And other countries are scrambling to fill in the gap when they can't get the rare earths to make their gadgets. And so there is a certain amount of slavery involved in mining rare earths in the Congo. I thought, no, there's a story for you. There's a story. And then there was another one about a piece about the Fairphone, which is made by a group of young people, potential, I would say, you know, brilliant young engineers who are living in Amsterdam, Holland. And I thought, no, Fairphone is, they want to make telephones that do not use any of these smuggled or pirated or cruelly mined rare earths. So I thought, well, okay, well, what if I needed to have an Oregon connection, because if I have a book with an Oregon connection, it gets in the local library. So I made this guy a secular Jew from Hood River, who decides he's a widower. He decides, well, he's kind of down in the dumps, and he'll take a trip, a bus trip in Europe, all expenses, all things covered. You know, one of those where they pack your bags for you. You know, they choose the hotel, they choose the restaurant. You don't have to worry about anything, because he's not much of a traveler himself. And he gets on this bus, which is relatively cheap, and it's driven by a private contractor, an Algerian who's bought this bus, and he's paying for it by doing these tours, which a friend of mine from Denmark at one time did. Anyway, so he gets on this bus, and there's only one other person about his age on it. They're all senior citizens, and that's an Israeli who happens to be a whistleblower who's smuggling rare earth that he stole out of the Congo. And he wants to expose the American company that's their competitor without involving his own company in Israel. And so all of a sudden, my poor American tourist, who is quite an innocent person, ends up carrying these samples of rare earths to Amsterdam. And it becomes a road trip and a romance and a mystery, because they're being pursued by a South African engineer who doesn't want this delivery to take place.
Well, it looks like you certainly have a big story there, and it all comes from one. That's a beautiful thing when you are a writer, is that one little thing can sort of set you off, and you go on to the next thing, and the next thing. So, like, now you've been writing for a lot of years. How many years?
I was just reviewing that for my kids. They taught me to write in the second grade, and when I started writing stories then, and sometimes you get a teacher that really inspires you and encourages you. And in the sixth grade, because I was reading science fiction and seeing Flash Gordon and the Saturday matinees, I was going to write the science fiction about the secrets of Mount Everest, which had not yet been climbed, you see. So my teacher would let me read a few paragraphs to the class. And I did that for a couple of weeks, I guess. And that was a real stimulus to go on writing. And of course, if I had to if I wanted to write to read something the next day, I'd have to write it, right?
Exactly.
And it's nothing like having a deadline to make you keep going.
Well, what a wonderful teacher. I mean, that, you know, somebody that you still remember, and that's...
Oh, yeah, that was great. That was an inspiration. I think she was trying to get the other kids in the class to do some writing themselves, which made me a sort of a sample that they could follow. So, yeah, I just kept on going from there. I've got a lot of short stories out, but to advising authors, you see, when I went to Sweden, I lived over there for 4 years, writing novels while I was collecting money on the GI Bill. But if you're a foreigner in Europe at that time, where there was no such thing as a Xerox machine, and you had typewriters and manual typewriter and carbon copies, you could not submit a manuscript to a Swedish publisher. They're not interested in an American author. And if you send a manuscript to America by boat, you're sending either your original or a first carbon. And nowadays, they just throw them away, you know. They just recycle them because it's so cheap to make another copy. But in those days, you just had that typewriter, and you had a couple of copies that you made, and it was really impossible to market my work then. And now I'm too old to get an agent. Nobody's going to be interested in the future but, career of an 84-year-old author. See?
But it, you know, it doesn't matter. I mean, it would be nice to make millions, but through all of these years, you've enjoyed the process, and I think that's so important.
Oh, yeah.
That people have to, you know, it's so much fun to write, and it's so much fun to see your work down on paper and to publish it, whether,
right,
you know, you get an agent and you can get one of the New York agents to take it on, or whether you self-publish. It's still your book and something that,
right,
you hold in your hand, so it's a very, very exciting thing.
Well, for years I had manuscripts stacking up on my desk that were basically dead. They don't, you know, if a manuscript sitting on your desk is not going anyplace at all. So, thanks to electronic publishing, anybody can publish their book themselves, and they can do it for nothing. And once it's put into the system, it can stay so-called in print forever. It's not like my first couple of books that were published by niche publishers. They went out of print.
And that was it. Well, you know, Harley, I want to thank you. I think you're inspirational to everybody that even at your age, it just takes one little article and you're inspired to write. And I hope that other people will follow that example and just get out there and write. And so
I do it.
Thank you for joining.
I tell people that writing may not be as intense as sex, but it lasts longer.
Okay, that's good advice. Listen, I wish you could be here next week. My brother, Tom, and his wife, Debbie, are coming down from the UP to be here in Florida. Of course, you know Tom, and I don't know what he's going to do with our 90-degree weather, because he thinks anything over 50 degrees is a heat wave. But
a freezer.
So thank you, Harley, so much for being on. And I just want to tell people that they can go to Amazon and you can see Harley, see all of Harley's works there. And it's spelled Harley, H-A-R-L-E-Y, Sachs, S-A-C-H-S. Or you can go directly to his website, which is his name, is HarleySachs.com. And see your work. So thanks again for joining us.
Great to be on.
Okay, thanks. This is Joy on Paper, Tampa Bay's Tantalk Radio, and we'll be right back after a few messages from my wonderful sponsors.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Mother's Day is just around the corner. It's time to visit the Silver Queen. the premier location in the Tampa Bay area for gifts for all occasions. At the Silver Queen, you'll find the perfect gift for the queen in your life. From elegant earrings and jewelry bags to whatever mother loves. Beautiful photo frames that you won't find in the mall. So stop by the Silver Queen, located at 1350 West Bay Drive in Largo. Is there a wedding in your future? Then the Silver Queen is the place to go. They have an amazing selection of engagement and wedding rings, and their bridal registry will ensure that you receive gifts that you will treasure for a lifetime. How about a birthday? You must check out their musical Silver Plate Birthday Cupcake. It is the kind of gift that will be used year after year. It's just $40. It is the perfect gift for a baby's first birthday. Check out their website, silverqueen.com. They have some wonderful coupons. Remember, the Silver Queen, 1350 West Bay Drive in Largo. It is the store with the beautiful dome.
Charles Ruttenberg Realty proudly sponsors Joy on Paper with Patsy Gill. Charles Ruttenberg sets the standard of excellence with residential and commercial real estate transactions and can help you on your next transaction, whether that is for a second home, investment, or downsizing. Call us today at 727-538-9200 extension 2 and allow me to help you. I'm John Rakowski, the broker at Charles Ruttenberg Realty.
The biggest air show in the South is back in Lakeland. Sun and Fun International Fly-In and Expo celebrates its 41st year all week long, April 21st through April 26th. This year promises to be bigger, faster, and louder than ever before. Experience the heart-thumping, awe-inspiring performance of the Breitling Jet Team's U.S. debut and the Air Force Thunderbirds. See thousands of aircraft both in the air and on display, and an open flight line of historic warbirds. Sun and Fun offers fun for the whole family with daily air shows, a kids zone, a classic car show, and lots of great food. Florida residents can make it a weekend the family will remember by coming Saturday, April 25th and Sunday, April 26th to experience three shows for the price of one. See the Breitling team perform at 3 p.m. Stay for the night air show, which includes aerobatic flyers, pyrotechnics, and a dazzling fireworks display. And come back Sunday for an additional show. Sun and Fun International Fly-In and Expo, celebrating its 41st year all week long, April 21st through April 26th in Lakeland. It's bigger, it's faster, it's louder, it's Sun and Fun.
Bette Midler, the Divine Miss M returns. May 11th, Amalie Arena.
One fine day.
Bette Midler. She's back with one more for the road. Reserve seats on sale now at LiveNation.com and Ticketmaster Outlets. Every ticket purchased online includes a copy of her new CD, It's the Girls.
Thank you so much.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hi, this is Patsy with a Z, and I'm back. It was a joy for me to talk to Harley, and I think he gave us some good advice there, and you could see the spirit of somebody who's 84 years old, and he's still writing. You've read before about how you have to keep those neurons in your brain working. Well, one of the best ways is to write. So if you haven't started writing, then you should definitely think about it. Because today I want to announce it. I am looking for two people who have been dreaming of writing but who have not yet started. I want one fiction writer and one nonfiction writer. And I would like to have you join me on Joy on Paper and come into the studio. And before you even start your first sentence, I want you to come into the studio. We'll talk a little bit about what you want to do. And then over the next 6 months or so, or maybe even as long as a year, if it takes you that long, I will help lead you through to writing your first book. Not only will I help you get started, I will also publish your book on Amazon, both Kindle and print versions, free of charge. At the end, Joy on Paper will host a book signing event for you, a big party for your family, your friends, and for all of our listeners who want to join us so that you can experience the joy of signing your first book. So if you have been dreaming about seeing your words on paper, and if you want to experience that joy, then just send me an email. My email address is patsy.radio@gmail.com, or you can go to my website, radio www.joyonpaper.com and use the contact form. Remember, I want people who have not written before so that we can follow them along, and I will motivate you. And every time you come into the studio, you can tell us how you're progressing. And if you need advice, I can give you advice. And I will also help you with your editing at the end before it's ready to be published. So I hope that you will be interested in doing this project, and I will choose one fiction and one nonfiction writer. So again, it's patsy.radio@gmail. And while you're on the computer, go to my Facebook page and like me, because I like you. I like everybody practically in the world. Well, almost everybody. And so if you would just like me, that would be great. Now, next week, my guest will be author Carol Perry, a local author who has written a really wonderful series called Witch City Mysteries. And it turned out to be a real surprise for me. I met her at one of the writers' meetings here in town, which, again, is a wonderful thing. If you're not a writer, if you haven't started writing but are interested, you should join some of these meetup meetings to meet other writers. Anyway, Carol wrote a series called Witch City Mysteries, and they are really very, very good. I and more sophisticated than I expected. So I think you're going to really enjoy listening to her, and I'm looking forward to having her next week in the studio with me. And if you have questions, I'll open the phones next week, and you can call in and ask her, because she has quite a bit of experience, and she certainly is great at developing characters. It's amazing what she's done with her books. So I hope that you'll join me. And on May 5th, I have with me, not in the studio, she will be talking to us from London, perhaps one of the biggest and most important romance writers, Eloisa James. She's had 12 books on the New York bestsellers list, so she also will be fascinating for you to learn from, and she has even started a film recently promoting romance writers and the using romance writing as a platform for women's rights. So she's a fascinating woman, and so I hope that you'll join me for that. Again, thank you for joining me today here on Joy on Paper. Please go to the Sunscreen Film Festival events. Go check it out on their webpage and get your tickets today. And if you haven't signed up for a workshop, sign up for a workshop. It's a great way to be inspired. So this is Patsy with a Z, wishing you a great week. Remember, one of the joys of life is to see your words on paper or spoken on stage or screen. So this week, take some time to write, one page at a time. In a month, you'll have a chapter, and in a year, you'll have a book, or maybe 6 months. Join me next Tuesday at 11 a.m. for Joy on Paper. Meanwhile, remember, joy is not an option. It's an order. So find your joy and share it. Bye.